that is, I've entitled Man's Disappointments Are God's Appointments. And there's a Bible verse. It took me years before I could grasp, as it said, I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. And I'm going to start here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1 in the New Living Translation. And I want you to see this, and I want you to grasp with me. I'm going to try to help you to understand what this verse is saying. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Think about that. For years, I just read that verse, and some years ago, I began to understand my Savior was led by God to be tempted by the devil. Now, what does that have to do with you? Because there's many, many, many other places in the Bible that talks about people being led into a situation of where they're being tested. And if we don't fully understand, if you can get disillusioned, you can get disheartened as you don't understand what's happening in your life and what we're here for. I can't think of a better place to go to the account of the children of Israel in, as they were led out of Egypt, 400 and something years of bondage, and they were led into freedom. And I want to show you something that I think is pretty amazing, and I'm doing this for a reason. I want you to consider that your life counts and that your life makes sense when it comes to God. I'm going to show you how. Reading out of Exodus chapter 15, I'm going to begin at verse 19. Now, this is when they were delivered. The Israelites were just delivered out of bondage. And they just got out. And Moses just delivered them. And they thought, man, this is great. But now watch how soon things change. In Exodus 15, 19, when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers rushed into the sea, the Lord brought the water crashing down on them, but the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Verse 20, then Miriam, the prophet Aaron's sister, also Moses' sister, took a tambourine and led all the women as they played their tambourines and danced. And Miriam sang this song, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. Okay? Now, verse 22. And here, they just get delivered. And I want to say, many times when there's a great victory, there's a great trial following that victory. And case in point right here, here's Jesus. He's being baptized by John the Baptist. And his father says from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the next verse said, then Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now that may not seem logical, but we're gonna read some here. I'm going to start reading at verse 22. Then Moses led the people of Israel, okay? He led them. That was God, that was incarnate God. He led them. Now I want you to see this, where he led them. He led them away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. Now this is God leading them, and there's no water. let me finish this, and I'm going to make some sense of this. And when they came to the oasis of Mara, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Mara, which means bitter. Verse 24. Then the people complained. And I can tell you that's here. That's what the devil wants you to do, to complain, to be disheartened, to get. Then the people complained and they turned against Moses. Is that what it says? They turned against Moses. What are we going to drink, Moses? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. See, a lot of times when we're agitated and things aren't going your way, may I say something to you? You're only in this life for a certain amount of time. And you're only in this life for a certain amount of reasons that God has. And once a person gives their life to Christ, he begins to work on them. And that's not hard to see in the Word of God. The Word says this. It doesn't say, go and have a blast, you're never going to have a problem. The Word says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because there's going to be things that come up. Why should we bring that up? Well, we've got people that we love in the service. They're too sick to come tonight. They're absolutely, and what do? They're always working and helping in the church, and all of a sudden that happens. What is that all about? That's normal. I want to tell you that if I can tell you that, make you understand that in the next few minutes, it will help you to take faith in your faith and in your new life that God has given you. So what are we going to drink? So Moses cried out for help to the Lord for help. And many times Satan will somehow get us agitated and I'm not going to go to church, or I'm not going to do this, or I don't blah, 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 when we should be doing what Moses did. We should be crying out to God. I'm going to tell you, this physical trial in my family with my wife has been the worst trial, worse than when I fell and opened my head, worse than Millie messed up a rotator cuff, the worst trial we have ever been in with physical problems. And it made us cry out to God. And we just kept on crying out to God. And you helped us, and you prayed with us, and you saw what Millie just was able to do. And I'm here to encourage you tonight. Don't give up. Let me make sense out of what is happening, okay? All right. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. That piece of wood. There it is right there. Moses threw that piece of wood into the water, and this made the water good to drink. And I'm telling you, when you come to Christ, that piece of wood comes into your life. That life of Jesus comes into you and changes which way you're going. All of a sudden, you have an eternal Father. Before that, there are people that Jesus is going to say to on Judgment Day, depart from me. I never knew you. Salvation is a chance while you're on this earth to know God and to let him lead you. Look at me. At times, he's going to lead you into things that are awful, but he's got a purpose. He's got a reason in it. He doesn't want to leave. Why should he save you and not make you better and change you into the kind of person that heaven can afford, that can walk on the streets of gold. I can see it now. Oh, man. I'll be walking over to your house. I'll say, get the tea and crumpets ready because I'm coming over for a visit. It might take me a while because I'm still not used to all this gold, these streets of gold, the beauty, where every... Every tear is dried. There'll be no more pain. I've seen the worst pain I've ever seen in my wife in 50 years in the last few months. And you know what? If I can see where people will say, why? What did I do? What do you do when that happens? What do you do when a trial comes on you? Something terrible that doesn't make sense. Because there seems to be almost an essence that, oh, just give your life to Jesus and everything's going to be peachy keen. But see, that's not true. All of a sudden, the Lord's going to take you and make you ready for heaven. And we're going to go through things and he knows just what, you know what? How many of you believe that God knows you like nobody else knows you? And he knows just what you need. And I'm telling you, God led the people of Israel after a great deliverance into a trial, and they didn't do so hot on it. So Moses threw that piece of wood, that old rugged cross, into the water and made the water good to drink, made it sweet. And you know, when Jesus comes into your life, there's an awesome change. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. There's nothing like it. It's the beginning of a new thing. But what happens is so many times people get saved and for very long they're back in the world because I don't know what some people are being taught or what to expect, but I'm going to tell you, when you get Christ in your life, one of the things you have to expect is that God has obligated himself to make you a son or a daughter fit for heaven. And we are born in sin. How many of you believe that? I sure believe it. And it was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test, as a standard to test them. And all of a sudden in your life, when you get born again, you're going to be tested. And that test isn't so God can find out what's inside of you. That test is so that you can understand what's inside of you and confess your faults to one another, like it says in James chapter 5, and mostly confess them to the Lord God. My confessing went increased tremendously when I got saved. I began to see, as God led me to my own place of bitterness with many different kinds of disappointments, what was inside of me and what he's trying to work out of me. And I want you to think about that tonight. And he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, right in his sight. Can I tell you something? We only think we have an idea what's right in God's sight till we get born again, till we begin to feed on the word. As Peter said, earnestly desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. And we begin to realize what heaven's like, what God's like, what the Savior is like, what the Holy Spirit is like. You can't know these things. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see. He cannot understand the kingdom of God. And then if you're not taught the truth afterwards, it's very easy to get discouraged and fall by the wayside. Because you think, I didn't think this was going to happen to me. I didn't think I'd have this trial. Well, Lord, me and Millie been serving you for a long time, and this is the worst thing I've ever seen. You know what we did? Let me tell you what we did. I'm going to tell you what we did. when that 4 months ago, when that affliction came on us, see, because it just didn't come on Millie. It came on us. It came on everybody here that loves Millie. It came on me. We began, Millie, by herself, she began to take an inventory of her life. Is there something in my life? And I began to look at my life. Is there something in my life? See, you don't hear that kind of preaching. What you hear now is, oh, you're so good. There's nothing wrong with you. It's the rest of the world. Just come to church, put a little money in the plate. We'll see you next week. Everything's fine. No, everything's not fine. The word says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means finish, help God finish what he started in you. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 7. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning of a thing. Anybody can start something. God is looking for some finishers. People that will finish and go to heaven and get over themselves and look at themselves instead of everybody else. Look at themselves and not their problems. Financial problems. Marital problems. I never expected this. I sure don't, I don't know about God. I thought this was going to be something different. Whatever you thought about that it was supposed to be, what I'm reading to you here is part of what it really is. God will lead us into situations where we can see our problems clearer than ever and do something about it. And he will give you the power of the Holy Spirit to do something about it. Amen. I got one amen. Was that you, Millie? I thought so. Amen. I know you was all saying that under your breath. Amen. I know that's right. We've got to understand or we won't have the heart to go forward. And he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all of his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. You know, the writer of the book of Acts was Luke. He was a doctor. The writer of the book of Luke was Luke. He was a doctor. He traveled with Paul, and he treated people and doctored people just like Jill and Cortland are doing in Guatemala right now. They're over there to give Jesus to people. You know, Jesus never came empty-handed when he wanted to bless somebody. With the woman at the well, he said, if you'll ask of me, I'll give you water and you'll never be thirsty again. To the 5,000, he turned to one of his disciples and said, look, they have nothing to eat. What are we going to do? He took a little boy's lunch, about the size of Junior. He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he took that, and he held it up and blessed it before his father. And he said, now, boys, you start feeding this, and don't stop till everybody has had what they wanted. Jesus, go do what I tell you. Okay, Lord. And they went. They started feeding people. And they kept feeding people. And they kept feeding people. Now there was 5,000 men. They didn't mention how many women and children there were that day. And they just kept feeding people. And Jesus looked out and he said, I think they're starting to get full. They're feeling good. Yes, yes. He said, well, gather up the leftovers. Because see, he took a little boy's lunch. He fed over 5,000 people. And when Jesus gets a hold of something, look here. Jesus wants to get a hold of you. He'll turn your little bit into a lot. He'll bless you. And at the end, we're going to a place where there's no more pain. There's no more tears. There's no more regrets. The streets are made of gold. And he said, listen, they said, Jesus, we don't know what to say. You just fed everybody. We don't understand with this little boy's lunch. And Jesus said, well, look at them. Are they full? Yeah. Is there anything left out there? There is. They said, go gather it up. Let nothing be wasted. God wants to know all the pain and disappointments in your life. He's not going to let them be wasted in your life. He's going to help you. He's going to make you have sense about what happened. How many did they pick up? 12 big baskets of leftovers for the 12 tribes of Israel. Let me tell you something. You need to hear these kind of messages. If you've come in here tonight and you're disappointed about things and you thought, what the heck is this? Let me tell you, God's going to show you. If you've come in here tonight and everything's all right, you can be sure of this. There's going to be some kind of a test coming up. You can be sure of that. And now what you need to know is that's normal. For the Lord has taken me. I was born a sinner. He's taken me, and he's trying to make me fit for the kingdom of God. And he takes us in this life, and he puts us through things, and he shows us who we really are. And I remember Millie telling me there were some things in tears. She said, there's some things that I think I could have done a different way. And she just repented before God. And we looked at our lives together. We withdrew to ourselves and just looked at, and I'm telling you this because we have never got mad at God. The most unfruitful thing you can do is get mad at church, get mad at God, get mad when the offering plate goes by. That's the most uncrazy thing that you can do, because what God's trying to do is take you and make something out of you, make something that you're going to be proud of. And you know what? The person next to you on either side, they need the same thing. The person preaching tonight, we all need that. We need the Lord to take us, because the trial of our faith is more precious than gold. And we've been told, everybody's been told, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Work with the Holy Spirit. Work with the Word of God. Work with Jesus. And he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord God that heals you. And the most important part of you that can be healed is that lost spirit inside of you. That's, if you die with that, you don't go to heaven. I'm not going to talk about where you do go. I'm not here to do that to you. I want you to see your life is normal if you wonder about things. If you wonder, how did this happen in my family? I wondered for a little while about my kids, my daughters. I'm supposed to be a man of God. They've all had divorces. What am I supposed to do about that? You know what? I found the best thing for me to do was to look at my heart and look at who I am. And what will I do under certain See, what are you going to do under certain situations that don't seem like it's a good thing from God? What are you going to do about that? I have never heard my wife, I cannot remember myself, and if you can't remind me, ever blaming God for anything in my life, except that I blame him for saving me. I blame him for healing me. I blame him for choosing me when people in this world, my own dad didn't care what I looked like. I was never anybody's favorite, but I was always his favorite. And in the summer of 1971, I began to see that I was one of his favorites and that he loved me. You know, after salvation comes the trial of your faith. God begins to deal with you as if he owns you. See, when he says to people, depart from me, I never knew you, that means you haven't let me into your life. I don't own you. You can do what you want, I guess. But see, that's the wrong thing to do. Somebody brought this up to me just today or yesterday. Said, I like that saying that you say, God's not a 16-year-old boy hard up for a date. See, he's not. What he's done is he's given his best, which is only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him and his cross would not perish, but have everlasting life. And please hear me tonight and judge with your spirit and your heart. Is this word true? Let's go to James chapter 1, and I'm going to read a couple of verses there in the New Living Translation. And here's what the word says there. I'll give you a moment. I like when people bring their Bibles. I like to see people thumb through their Bibles. That's what it takes. See, there's people I know, if I put a gun to their head and told them you need to quote 10 verses or you're leaving this life, they couldn't do it because they don't. How can you be born again if you don't eat the food of being born again? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And in James chapter 1, where I'm reading, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Listen, it ain't like it seems. It's nothing like it seems. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, see what's happening here is your faith is being tested. And God's not the one gathering information on you. You are. For the first time in your life, you're going to begin to see as you come to communion and examine your heart, as you pray, as you walk with the Lord, all of a sudden you can see who you are and what needs to be changed. And not only that, he'll give you the power to live the right kind of a life. So, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. That's what he's doing in your life. And when them trials come and you stay with God anyway, I'm going through. I'll pay the price no matter what others do. I'll take the way of the Lord's anointed view because I started out with Jesus and bless God. I'm going through. See, I'm not going to be stopped by Satan working on the inabilities and sins in my life. I'm going to work them out. I'm not going to call sin good, for it is written, woe is them that call good evil and evil good. You know what I'm going to do? When I get down and I examine my heart tonight, I'm going to be honest. That is the beginning of being free. For God's sake, be honest with yourself. Be honest with God the Father. If you've got problems, and this isn't a message to make you concentrate on that, it's make you concentrate on this. Your situation is the same situation as everybody in this room. You can't be good enough not to have disappointments and loss in this life. For it is written in John 16 and 33, in this world you will have tribulation. Then he said, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. You ain't going under if you stay with me. You're going over. You're going over. There's nothing in this life worth trading for your salvation. Nothing at all. And so, children of the Most High God, you're all my children now. 72. I'll be honest with you. I never thought about being 72. But I am. And you know what? I feel pretty good for 72. I can sure scramble around and goof around in the mud and everything, Evan, can't I? For a guy 72, getting out of that boat, climbing like a monkey. Man's disappointments, these trials, physical illness, marital problems, financial problems, people let you down. God uses those bitter pools, and he puts Jesus into those bitter pools to change your life. Galatians 3:13 says this. God has redeemed us. In fact, I'm just put up Galatians 3:13. I'll close right here. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We were talking about that tree tonight that was thrown into the water. It's time right now to examine your heart. It's time for us to take communion. It's time. Don't be so hard on yourself. Try to understand what's really happening. God's trying to get you ready for a better place. Let's just...